The Holy Spirit gives gifts. I like gift giving. Do you? No, some do, some don't. It's okay. We have different love languages. My mother had a love language of gift giving. She loved to go shopping and pick out something that she knew would make someone smile. Have you ever gotten a gift where someone knew you really well? They knew what you liked. They knew what you didn't like. They knew your personality. They knew your favorites. They knew what kind of lifestyle you were living, what you might find useful and helpful and joyful. And they gave you a gift and you unwrapped it and thought, wow, they really love me. They've studied who I am and they picked out such a great gift for me. And that can be a sign of love, isn't it? And so today I want to talk about gift giving. The number one gift that God wants to give all of us is his son, Jesus Christ, right? And that's found in John 3, right? For God so loved the world that he gave, right? Yes, you know it. He gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe him in him would not perish but have eternal life. And eternal life is not only life after life, it's life now, here and now, building the kingdom, living in the fullness of life. And God didn't quit there with gift giving. God gave, right? Jesus talked about this before he ascended back to heaven after the crucifixion. He talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit coming. Remember how we looked at that in the Gospel of John? I think it was about 14, 15, 16 in there. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm going to give you another, the advocate who will come in my name, speaking of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will teach you and remind you more about me, said Jesus. And then in Acts 2, which we studied a few weeks ago, both in the Bible study and in our messages here, we looked at Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, right? This idea that now that Jesus is ascended, returned back to heaven to sit at the right hand, this now is the age of the Spirit, so that every believer who believes in Christ can be with and filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. That's a gift for us. The Holy Spirit. And then God's gift giving doesn't stop there. And I love to talk about this. So we're going to be, spoiler alert, talking about this next Sunday too. The Holy Spirit gives gifts. And the scripture that was read today is about spiritual gifts or the gifts of the Spirit. So I'll let you know that this Sunday, next Sunday, they're going to be more of kind of teaching Sundays on my side, and hopefully to better equip us on how to receive a gift. Have you ever gotten to Christmas time and seen a kid unwrap one present and be so excited about that one present that they didn't realize there were other presents still over in the corner to be unwrapped? Sometimes as believers, we can be so excited to discover Jesus and then so excited to discover the Holy Spirit, we forget the fullness that there's more. And so I want to talk about that today. I'm going to put this up here just for a reminder of a gift visual today. So go ahead, Tim, and flip us to this passage. In Corinthians, or if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. I want to talk through some principles as we dig into spiritual gifts. Scripture designates that spiritual gifts are given to us by God. And so I would say that that's not the same as your abilities or natural talents. Right? So some people, for one example, some people are just hardwired right, in their who they are and how their brain works. They're just good with numbers, right? Just, they're a numbers person. And then there's others that maybe they're just really good with words and crafting a poem or saying something artistically in the spoken word, right? So there's just some people who are hardwired a bit differently, right? Those are natural giftings and talents. Some people are just, they seem naturally athletic, right? They're just coordinated and fast, right? Those are natural hardwiring gifts and talents. That's a bit different than what the scripture seems to point to here. Here, gift is in the Greek, it's pointing to where we get the Greek word for charisma, or charismata. And so this is unlike some of the other Greek words for gift. This one is focused on how God gives specific gifts for individuals for a reason. So let me say this. Saving grace, grace, charis, is the same for everyone, undeserved. Saving grace is the same, it's offered to everyone, undeserved. But serving grace is given to different people for different reasons that the Spirit discerns. Let me say that one more time. Saving grace is for everyone. It's an offer to everyone. Serving grace looks different from one person to the next as the Spirit determines. It's not just something from human effort. It's something supernaturally given by the Spirit in and through a specific person. Next, spiritual gifts are not the same as fruit of the Spirit. Last Sunday, we talked about fruit of the Spirit and how fruit of the Spirit is that when we are in Christ, following Jesus, we begin to live and act differently. So how we do things matters. And we talked about how the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yeah. And that those are virtues, characteristics, fruit in our lives that show how we are to love one another, right? Jesus said we're to be known by our love for one another. And love looks like the fruit of the Spirit. So if you want to know what is the mark or marks of a true disciple of Jesus Christ, I say to you, look at their fruit, right? A good tree, Jesus said, produces good fruit. And a bad tree will produce bad fruit. You will know them by their fruit. So when someone is filled with the Spirit, you will see the fruit of the Spirit. Now, spiritual gifts are more about what we do, are more specific giftings about what we do. And so we're going to look at those. Spiritual gifts, as a premise, they're not to be for pride, they're not to be for self-gain, and they're not to be used in divisive ways. So one of the songs you picked out said it well about being humble. I don't boast in anything but Jesus Christ, right? I have nothing to boast about but Jesus Christ. And so it's important to understand that gifts, individual gifts you're given, are not for a point of pride. So spiritual gifts, as we had read, and we're going to look at these more in detail next week. So I hope you come back because we're going to unpack
specific gifts, and hopefully it will help you better discern what gift or gifts you're given, and also maybe help you discern in our community what other gifts you see in other people. So right in this scripture here, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then it goes through, there's gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, gifts of faith, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, gifts of prophecy, gifts of tongues, and so forth. Right? So those are some of the examples. Spoiler alert, we'll look at the lists more thoroughly. There are lists in more than one places that talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and we'll unpack each one of the gifts of the Spirit next week. And so it's important for us to upfront say that these gifts are not to be a place of pride and divisiveness. So let me give you an example. When you are given a gift and God stuff happens, should I put it that way? It's exciting. And if we're not careful, we can grow proud and kind of think, well, I'm a more mature Christian, you know. I'm a really good Christian. And we can start to take some of the credit. So, for example, if you're given a spiritual gift of healing and you pray for someone who's sick and they get better, you may be tempted to think, man, I am all that and a bag of chips. That's slang for, man, I'm really great. But Paul, if you read through Acts, would say, it's not me who has the power when someone is healed. It's the Spirit of God who has the power to heal. I'm only the vessel through which this prayer of faith has brought healing. Right? So Paul was always careful in Acts when there was a miracle to point people to Jesus above, beyond himself. So that's what I mean as an example. When you discover you have a spiritual gift or gifts, it can be cool and exciting. And if you're not careful, you can get a little full of yourself. And so it's really important up front to say the spiritual gifts are to serve and to build other people up. Spiritual gifts are to serve and to build other people up. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians that the gifts are for the manifestation of the common good, to build up the church, to build up others. And they're not to be divisive. Have you ever seen kids where one gets a gift and they hog it all, and then the other kids are jealous and mad and a fight breaks out over the gift because there's a lack of sharing? You ever seen that? Yeah, that's not just for kids, it's adults too. When you're given a spiritual gift, it's not for you to go sit in your room and just, oh, this is great. This is so great, God, me and you. No, it's to bless others. So these spiritual gifts are not just for you, they're also for others. And the really good and wonderful thing about being a part of the kingdom of God and having spiritual gifts is that you're invited into being a part of the heart of God, right? If it's God's heart to love and God's heart to draw other people to himself and God's heart to bless, you get to be a part of that blessing to other people. And so they're gifts not only for you, but to be used through you to other people. In other words, this is a call to every person is called to ministry. This is a picture of missional church, meaning that it's not just the pastor's job to be in ministry, but all of us. Now, I recognize that pastors, crazy people like myself, it's kind of like what we do. But here's the reality, is that no one pastor has all the gifts. And neither do you have all the gifts.
there are different gifts given to different people in the body so that we work in community, we love one another, we're interdependent, and we grow together to the glory of God. And so the key is to learn what are your gifts, what are my gifts, and to learn to work together, not to be jealous of what someone else has
or what I don't have,
but to find and discover what is it that God has given me to bless not only my life, but to bless others and to use it gladly. Spiritual gifts are every member in ministry. Every Christian is given at least one gift, if not several. Every Christian is given one gift, if not several. I think that this is really exciting, and part of what makes church life dynamic when we get this, that every member has something to contribute. So let's think about this in body analogy, right? In 1 Corinthians 12, the second half, it's all about the body as an analogy. So if you as a body, right, if you only eat and never exercise, how does that go? Right? If you only are consuming, but you're never expending energy, how healthy is your body? Not very good. So if someone, as a Christian, says, the only reason I'm going to church is to be fed, I would say to you, that's not super healthy. If it's only to consume, but not to find a way to give, that's an unhealthy body. Now, the reverse is also true. You think about it in body image. If you know of someone who only exercises, man, they're into running miles, kilometers, every kilometers, every day, right? They're into pumping iron every day, but they don't eat. They don't eat any nutrients. What happens? Right? If they're only giving out, expending energy, and they don't re-nourish themselves, how does their body turn out? It becomes unhealthy, right? It can't sustain the exercise. Likewise, in a church, if someone gets off to one side where they're only giving, they're only pouring out, they're only serving, and they don't feel fed, they don't feel encouraged, they don't feel supported, they don't feel seen and loved by their community, why, they begin to feel malnourished, starving. So this is the mark of a healthy church, healthy community, when you're both giving and receiving. So I should say receiving and giving. And you need both. And so that might be something to reflect on in your own life. If you're someone who's eating a lot spiritually, but not giving out much, you might want to rebalance. If you're giving constantly and you don't feel like you're being poured into enough, you're being nourished enough, then you might want to recalibrate, rebalance and do some more Bible studies, some more worship time, some more prayer time, some more time in community to be nourished. We need both, right? We both need to feed our body and exercise our body. So in the church, every member in ministry. Now you may be sitting there going, I don't know if I have any gifts. And I want to encourage you that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to equip and empower each one of us with a gift or gifts to bless others, to build up the community of faith, and to invite you into ministry. And ministry doesn't have to look like what my ministry looks like, right, as a, quote, pastor. These aren't official professional ministries. These are Christian discipleship lifestyles. I think of somebody in a former church named Roy. You don't know him. Our family knows him. from another church. Dear, dear man. He would always come early on a Sunday morning. And he'd come in the door and say, "How can I help?" And if it was chairs, he'd move chairs. If it was books, he'd move books. If it was move the coffee pot, move the coffee pot. If it was go out and welcome people, he'd go out and welcome people. He was just so happy to do service, helps. It was part of his worship. And he had a spiritual gift of just this helps ministry. And he blessed our family so much. And he had a gift of hospitality, you know, just that great welcoming spirit. As soon as he met a stranger, they were quickly welcomed and seen and drawn out. And pretty soon that person didn't feel like a stranger. They felt like a part of the community. And he was always at the door welcoming people. And he used his gifts so much so that whenever a person would move away from that church, one of the last people they had to talk to was Roy. Because he loved them. He saw them. He served them. And other people responded to them, right? He wasn't with an official ministry title, but was he in ministry? Absolutely, right? So that's just an example. And so I want to encourage you to come back next week. If you're not able to be here next week because you have travels, I would be happy to sit down with you over a coffee or a meal sometime and talk about this. I think it can be a really exciting kind of time of discovery to look at spiritual gifts, what they are, and what is God giving you. And that's individualized. It's a gift for you to use, not only in your life to build you up, but also for others. And so next week, we're going to have an opportunity to walk through the different spiritual gifts found in Scripture, define them, talk about them, and then I'm going to give you kind of a handout that will help you look at the spiritual gifts and hopefully better discern what God is giving you. And so I hope you'll come back and look at that and allow yourself to receive gifts from the Holy Spirit and learn to unwrap them and use them, enjoy them, and bless others. So let's pray. Now let's just take some time just for silent prayer. Just you and the Lord in a personalized way. I'm going to give you just some space to pray. Today we have looked at spiritual gifts that God, through the Spirit, gives us gifts. What do you want to say to God about that? Or maybe, what do you want to listen? Can you take just some time to listen to the Holy Spirit prompt you, teach you about what the Spirit's pouring into you? Take a few moments to pray and to listen.